What would your church be like if Jesus were bodily present for an extended period of time? Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. I'm here with Dr. David Maines, the director of SermonCoach.com, and we're talking about a subject of interest to pastors. We're here to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. Our discussion, David, has been centering on revival. I know that several years back you edited a study Bible for Zondervan on the topic of revival. Was that a good experience for you?
It was very helpful for me. It forced me to put into 52 weeks studies that were a lifetime in the making that I never had the discipline to put together in that fashion. So when they asked me, I was very thrilled. I thought, God, that's the nicest thing anybody could have asked, to write a study Bible on the topic of revival. I enjoyed it. It took a couple years. I did it at the same time I was doing the 50-day spiritual adventures, writing books. You know, I'm now a recovering workaholic. I don't know how I got it all done, except I had some exceptional help with it. But I was the one who was the fashioner, the framework and everything. So, yeah, as I look back, I would say that was one of the most significant things I did in my life, was to write that study Bible on revival.
Cool. Well, we're talking about revival, an overwhelming sense of Christ's presence. From the perspective of the local church, as we look at that subject, not a family or a community or a nation like Israel, but more specifically, from the perspective of the local church, what is it like to have the very presence of God in the local church?
Well, we're going to pick up what we talked about last time, and that's the picture of what it would be like if Jesus, unannounced, just came and all of a sudden started attending your service on Sunday morning. And he said, I'm going to be here again next week. I'm going to be here again the week after that until such time as you're tired of me. I will always be here. Well, what would happen in that church? And you can kind of picture in your mind, one of the first things that would happen in my mind is somebody's going to nudge their friend and say, you know, I think that's Jesus over there. And over time, that's going to spread, whispering through the congregation. Then even though the call to worship hasn't been sung, it's going to get extremely quiet in the church. Well, that silence is often is a sign of the presence of the Lord, that silence. I've experienced that in different places as I've traveled, like in India and services over there, and sometimes even in services in the United States. I imagine in the quiet, rather than waiting for the service to start, somebody at a certain point will start to sing a song, you know, and it'll probably be a praise song, a song attributing worth to Jesus. I think people will join in. I think there are going to be some people who are going to just stretch out flat on their faces, which is a body sign of worship or attributing worth. Maybe some people kneel. You know, it's just going to be that strong awareness that something very special is here. That's the Son of God, and we are the most fortunate people in the whole world. And when the actual service begins and the choir sings or the people sing together or they hear the word read or the word preached, His presence will make a magnificent difference. And if you can figure out more specifically what all those differences are, on top of what I've just stated, this overwhelming sense of worship, which is often one of the early signs of revival, is you have worship coming alive, then you can tell whether or not you'd like it. My personal feeling is all those signs are good signs. People would like them very much.
In a recent podcast, we were talking about planning worship as a part of the church service, and that it should match the preaching theme. What you're saying now brings that all alive, doesn't it?
Even more so, yeah. In fact, people would say, I'm so glad we planned this out. This is neat. And not only because it's a good thing, but it's the right thing, and we all feel good about it. You know, Jesus came, he received the praise due him for the exact attribute that we're talking about, and all of us could say, amen, amen, that's true, Jesus, and we haven't said the half of it, you know. They would feel very good about it, yeah. And anything that was sloppy or something that didn't fit, or where did that dangling part come from, you know, everybody's going to say, you know, man, we got to straighten this up so next week the service is better. Now, it doesn't mean everybody has to be professional. That's different. You know, somebody may be so emotionally moved when they sing a solo that they break down. That's all right. Jesus is there, and I understand all that. But as far as whether it was planned well and put together well, everybody has good feelings about that because this is the Son of God.
You said there were a number of specifics you could talk about if Jesus was bodily with us on a series of Sundays. Let's add another one to this worship element then.
I should probably get you to talk about them, but I'll add some. And if you think you've got some, then toss them in. I would say that, worship is the first we talked about. Another one that is very prominent during times of revival is evangelism. Now, evangelism and revival are not the same. Evangelism is kind of a subheading of revival. It's one of the evidences. But if you say, if Jesus is there Sunday, the next Sunday you're going to say, I got to get my buddy to go, because I don't know how many Sunday he's coming. But if the Son of God is there, he needs to be there present. It'll change his life. And if your buddy says, no, I don't know if I'll make it or not, you say, I don't care what you got planned. You're going to change. I don't care if you got tickets to the football game or whatever. That's not as important, because you don't know what's happening in our church. It's unbelievable. So there's this strong sense of evangelism. And you never get revival without evangelism. It's just a part of what is going to go on. I would say another, just to add another one, this is one that's a tough one for people. Holiness. And when Jesus is present, there is a sense that sin and Jesus don't mix. So you see Jesus, and I don't know if it's the prince in his hands or whatever you notice, but you say, sin was not a friend of Jesus. And he is probably aware of the sin in my life, and I have to do one of two things. Either got to quit coming because I'm extremely uncomfortable because I know about what's going on in my life, or otherwise I have to learn how to get rid of that, because, and with Jesus' help, because sin and Jesus don't mix. So holiness is a huge part. Now, as I begin to say these things, you can analyze a given church to say, where is it? Is the worship alive in a church? If it is, that's a good sign. Is evangelism alive? Most of the churches in the country, evangelism is not. Now, some churches, I mean, the church where I am a part now, evangelism is huge. There are great numbers of baptisms and everything. Then you ask the question, what about holiness? Holiness is a strange thing, Dean, because it seems like more and more as I analyze sermons today, people in the pulpit don't like to talk about sin. It's like it's the taboo subject. You just don't bring it up. And I've been to this church where I am now for quite a while, and I can't remember anybody ever talking about sin. It's like, you don't do that in this church. And with all the good things that are there, I think holiness is a problem. In fact, in their analyzation of the congregation, they say, we are not realizing the kind of discipleship we want in these people. And my response would be, well, part of that is because you're not talking about sin. And sin is a huge part of people's lives. You got to talk about it because it causes them shame and grief and all the rest. Mm-hmm. But holiness, you never have revival without this sense of holiness. You're going to have to stop me with another question because I'll keep going, but I'll give you another one real fast. Okay, love. Love in the Christian sense of the word is huge when Jesus is present. And now you may go to Jesus and say, you know, I like certain of the things that are present when you heard, but this idea of loving everybody and loving your enemy, could you loosen up on that just a little bit? Because that's hard, and you don't know the turkey that's giving me trouble. You know, well, Jesus is not going to say, well, that's an obvious exception. You can have leniency in there. You're going to see that love is very important to him. In fact, in times of revival, you get the reports of people saying it's like we're living in liquid love. You know, well, those are wonderful words, aren't they? Mm-hmm. There are times when people said, we watched our lives and we were very afraid to sin because we thought our sin might be the reason why the sense of Jesus would go away. And we didn't want that to happen. So we were very careful the way we lived. Well, you can imagine, you know, any minister like me, you talk a lot, your tongue's loose. And when the Lord speaks to me, one of the first areas he speaks to me is about my tongue. So I'm learning to say loving things about people. And when I say things that are critical, hopefully they're constructively critical. And that the Spirit really works on me. But when there's revival, then those elements are going to take place. There's going to be love in the body. So is that a good thing? I think it's a good thing. So anything that you could think, well, if Jesus were there, that's going to happen. That's exactly what takes place during times of revival or when life returns once again to a local church.